반발. 아, 네. 반발.
we have to see how much of a servant of Allah he is. If the do's and don'ts of Allah are observed by this individual to the max, means he is the best servant. And if they are observed lesser, it means that that weight of that individual is lesser. Abid is no good deal, because shaitan, he worships so much, when Amir al-Mu'mineen in Nahj al-Balagha says that he worshipped for 6,000 years, and we do not know that those 6,000 years were the years of this dunya or the years of akhirah. So after all that worship, shaitan, he becomes a good abid, does not become an abd. That is why he doesn't carry any weight. The same thing is with the human beings. If they worship a lot, if that ibadat is there a lot, but ubudiyat doesn't exist, that obedience doesn't exist, that individual, he carries no weight. And we do find this a lot in the book, in the books, that they say, that person was a good person, although people talk bad about him, but he gave sadaqah, for example. It doesn't work that way. Someone is good if he has submitted to Allah, if he is obedient to Allah. So here Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, Mawlaya ya Mawlai, Anta al-Mawla wa ana al-Abd. You are the master, I am the Abd, I am the slave. Or the best title that is given to the Holy Prophet, it is the same. That is, even in our prayers, we bear witness saying that, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. That is,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So Rasulullah, the best title which he possesses is that abd, he is a servant of Allah. So the more a servant, the more a servitude, the more submission in an individual, the more weight he carries. Now, one of the lessons which we learn from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam is that, in addressing to his son, he says that if you look into all of these states in the world, everyone has problems. More than 90% of the problems which every individual is facing, especially the countries, it is because of that lack of obedience. Because they haven't submitted to Allah, that is why all so many problems that we see. For this, in one phrase, Amir al-Mu'mineen, a title given to him is, he is Imam al-Bayan. Not only Imam al-Muttaqeen, not only Imam of the Shias, he is Imam al-Bayan. He is Imam of everything. Whatever you see, Imam is foremost. Imam is first, even in that aspect. Here in this teaching, to his son says, La takun abda ghayrik, waqad ja'alaka Allah hurra. Says Hassan, you must not be a slave of another. No slave of anyone. That you have to renounce, Allah has made you free. Allah has made you free, that freedom has to be maintained. Submission has to be only and only to Allah. That is, if we submit to Allah, whatsoever He has said we do, that freedom has been attained and maintained throughout. Now the do's and don'ts that we have in these risalas, in those masail of whichever mujtahid you follow, if we stick to that layout, that pattern which has been said to us, we have maintained our freedom. If we say that, no, certain things it's difficult for me to observe living in the West, certain things I will not abide by, that is not acceptable. It means that freedom of mine also will be lessened. That weight of mine, which is ubudiyat, that also will be reduced. Here, Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, La takun abda ghayrik, waqad ja'alaka Allah hurra. Whence Allah has made you free. Now this slavery, that is, if I stick to my own desires, my own temptations, what has been told to me, I do not listen to that, and then I stand against the sayings of ma'asumeen, God forbid, or against the fatawa of my mujtahid, here this person, he, with this tactic of his, has reduced his price, and that ubudiyat of his also will be lessened. The slavery that we talked about now, this has been defined by the ulama as a grave. That is, if we become a slave of another by not being obedient to Allah, it is a grave. Now as a grave, it's full of afflictions, full of tests, there is no breathing space there, it's all dark, it's all muggy. And if someone is dumped into a grave, very soon he also will die. And if a body is laid in that grave, we find that soon that body also decomposes.
Yeah.
So what the grave does is that decomposes, rots, and finishes something. The reason for that is because the person was a slave, he gets decomposed. In this world, and in the hereafter, when that body is laid to rest in that grave, that... Now, if you look at the Quran, then says that, فَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ فِرَعُونَ وَمَا أَمْرُ فِرَعُونَ بِرَشِيدٍ. That is the reason why many of the people, they were misled and that slavery of theirs was lost. That is because they followed Fir'aun and so on. So here, Imam says that don't be a slave of another when Allah has made you free. Now if we abide and stick by this teaching of the Imam that we have to be obedient to Allah, as a result of that obedience, freedom is given to us. Not only to us, if a person becomes real and true free and becomes a real and a true obedient of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, even that grave has no right to decompose that individual. Now just to get an idea what exactly grave is, and because we talked about akhirah so much, this body which Allah has given to us, it's a shell, it's a covering to the soul which is inside this body. Now where exactly the soul is, we don't know. It's all over the body. Wherever you poke a needle to your body, you can't say that the soul is here, the soul is there. Everywhere the soul exists inside that human body. The soul is in the body is a shell, a cover to that body. And when a person dies, this soul is taken off the body, and that shell which is the body, that is left behind. It's like undressing ourselves, and how the clothes are taken off, the same way the soul is taken off that body. And that's why you find in the Quran, when a person is dying, it's that the process starts from the feet and goes all the way until that soul is taken away. Now he says that the body is a shell, soul is in the body. Now many a times we find that people, they die, they are buried, but sometimes people have no graves. Someone dies in an air crash, for example, or someone dies in the ocean, he has no grave. So does it mean that if he has no grave, he has no azab-e-qabr, has no fishar-e-qabr? No, that is not the case. Ma'asumeen, they have said that qabr, when it is said, it's normally understood by the grave which we have in a cemetery. But that is not always the case. Grave is barzakh. Barzakh is grave. That the moment a person dies, that soul automatically has arrived in barzakh. Now for that soul in this dunya, Allah had given a body which was a cover in which the soul was safe and secure. In the akhirah, that is the moment when a person dies, from barzakh onwards, this soul is kept in another cover which is known as Badan Misali, that is another, which has the same form of this human soul, same form as the human body, but it is not of this material form. So that soul is kept secure in that form, and that azab or that punishment, the rewards and all that will be given to that, like a capsule in which this you put all the medication in there. So that cover, that coating which will be given to a soul when it departs from this dunya, that is, this cover is taken off and that cover is given. And for that cover it is said that it is thousands of times much more perfect than this human body which Allah had given to us in this dunya, which is the best and the most perfect of His creations, says that cover which He will give to our souls in the hereafter, that is thousands of times much more perfect than what it is now. And that can perceive much better, much more than... And inshallah, if we get some time, we'll talk about that. So here Imam says, لَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكَ, that don't be a slave of another, when Allah, He has made you free. Now sometimes we find that by being obedient to Allah, that weight of ours increases. As a result of that, freedom also is attained. As a result of which, this body, which is this material form which Allah has given to us, that doesn't decompose, even in the earth, if it's buried for thousands of years. One of the great ulama of ours, Shaykh Sadhuq, dies about 1,000 years ago. And about 150 years ago, now this is an incident which is being quoted by Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzmah Marashi Najafi, among the Maradi Taqleed who passed away in the late 90s. He quotes it from his father. Says, in a landslide, the grave of Shaykh Sadhuq in Shahr-e-Ray, there, this basement of the grave, due to that landslide, the grave breaks open. And there is water flooded in that grave, and the body of this noble alim is out of his grave. The best of the ulama, upon they are called to that site, and among them is the father of this Ayatollah Ismail al-Rashid Najafi. He says that we, six, seven of us, all together, we made a grave, the body was taken out, and when it was dry, the grave was made, he was laid to rest. Someone who died 1,000 years ago, after 1,000 years, the body was totally intact. Nothing has decomposed from him. Now, because all of them were the banned ulama of that time, and they knew that it was his fatwa, it is mustahab for us to clip our nails on Fridays. We have riwayat which say that it is mustahab to clip your nails on Thursdays. Now, he acted on that ihtiyat and precaution. So one hand he used to clip on Thursday, the other hand he used to clip on Friday, so that that istihbab was taken care of on both days. He said that I was reminded of that incident of his, which he, that was his practice, and says that I saw one of the hands, the nails were clipped. That was a Thursday, which he died after clipping his nails, and the right hand also, for example, or the left, whichever hand it was, the other nails needed to be clipped, but he had died on that Thursday. Says everything intact, even the nails. Now this is someone who had died 1,000 years ago. Now how come that earth, which is a grave, and which is meant to decompose anything which is dumped into that earth, does not decompose this? Now a person, due to obedience, as a result of that obedience, he gets to this freedom that no one has any right or nothing in this kingdom, great kingdom, creation of Allah, can decompose that individual, even if it is in the grave. Although everyone has to decompose in the grave, but they don't. So that is how, as a result of obedience to Allah, a person gets, if you recall your memories, it was mentioned in that hadith of Qudsi, Allah says, O sons of Adam, be obedient to me, I will make you like myself. As I am rich, never needy, I will make you rich, never needy. Says that I live forever, you will live forever, you be obedient to me. Just because of that obedience factor, all those things are given. Or for example, even many thousands of years ago, there's another prophet in Iran called Haiku. The same landslide takes place, and then this grave is opened. They come and see that someone who had died about 2000, no one knows when he lived. At that time, the body is intact, the hair are intact. The reason is because of that obedience which a person, and we find in riwayat that someone who is obedient to Allah performs his Jummah ghusl regularly, bodies of these mu'mineen also will not decompose. So that is obedience. So obedience has that beautiful effect that the more obedient a person is, the more free he will be. The more free he will be here, the more free he will be everywhere. So that is لا تكون عبد غيرك فجعلك الله حرا. That Allah has made you hur, Allah has made you free, you don't be a slave of another. Now many a times we, with all these different excuses, that the time we are living in, the society that we are living in, or the university, the job, the college, whatever it is, because we are there, our presence is there, so we have to twist some of the ahkam of Allah, tailor make it. That is being disobedient to Allah. If we have intended that we want to be good Muslims, good servants of Allah, then la takun abda ghayrik. That is, you don't need to be a slave of another whence Allah has made you free. There is this quote which is recited normally in Muharram and Safar. That is, when Aba Abdullah, on the night of Ashura, he dims that light, that puts off that light, and says to his ashab, leave this bay'at, which is my right, I will take it away. That is, on the day of judgment, Allah will not ask you, because I have taken that bayat away. He will not punish you, but why did you leave Abu Abdullah? Imam puts that light off. No one leaves. Not one leaves. And then, after that, he says that, La a'lamu ashaban awfa, that I don't. La a'lam in Arabic means, I don't know. Now here it doesn't know, La a'lam, I don't know, it doesn't mean, because Imam is ma'asum. I don't know for Imam, doesn't fit him. La a'lam here means that I have scanned the entire creation of Allah. That is, min al-awwaleen ila al-akhirin. That I have looked into the entire creation and I don't find anyone better than these 70 which Allah has given to me. The reason for that is that because they were obedient to Allah. And someone who is obedient to Allah is free because of that obedience. And someone who is disobedient to Allah in whatever way, in whatever manner, to whatever limit, he loses his freedom. And as a result of which, that weight of his also reduces. Now we find that in someone.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A person, he comes to our sixth Imam and says, Uhibbuka yabna Rasulullah, that I love you, O son of Rasulullah. Imam waited for a while, bowed down, and after that says, Kathit, that you are lied. Now how come he said that you have lied? Says, I just scanned and I saw that no, you are not among those who love us. This is another test that we have to, that Iman which Allah has given to us, it constantly needs to be polished. It needs to be corrected all the time. We can't just say that because we were born Muslims, that is sufficient for us and we will be safe until the end. No. Like health Allah has given to us, tomorrow it can be taken away. Wealth He has given us today, tomorrow it will be taken away. Nothing is guaranteed. Same thing is with Iman. Iman, He has blessed us today, tomorrow it can go away. And we have loads of examples in history. For example, Zubayr. Zubayr was very close to Rasulullah, very close to Amir al-Mu'mineen. We find in that riwayat, in that quote, that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa
sallam, salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
he says to Zubayr that, do you love Ali? He says, I love him. He's my best friend, for example, as what we say today. And then Rasulullah says that a day will come when you will stand against Ali. He says, I will not do that, Ya Rasulullah. I'm so close to him. What we find in Zubayr is that someone who is at a very young age, 16 years of age, in the battles he used to go on to the enemy's side to spy for Muslims. And that was a very difficult task. At that very young age, such beautiful past he has. Or even on that day when Rasulullah passes away and when those malaeen, la'natullah alayhim, come to the house of Ali and Zahra alayhim as-salam, and that disrespect takes place, they drag Amir al-Mu'mineen out. The first one to object to take his sword out is Zubayr. He says that, ayyuf'alu hadha, such thing be done to Ali and Bani Hashim are alive and we are alive, we want to see that happens, that Ali is disrespected. The first sword which was taken out was of Zubayr. And then Zubayr was tied with that beautiful past. A time comes in that battle of Siffin. We find that there is a party here, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and on the other side we have Zubayr in the battle of Jamal. And here Amir al-Mu'mineen comes to Zubayr. So there was, Aisha, she raises this cry that Zubayr has been killed. Just to make a chaos over there, create a scene. He says, no, I just came to say you something, Zubayr. Says, what is that? Says, do you remember, 30 years ago Rasulullah said that, Zubayr, do you love Ali? You said, yes. He said, a day will come that you will oppose him, you will stand against him. This is that day. I just came to remind you of this day. So later on he was killed. So someone with that beautiful past, he ends up a head-on collision. Iman was there, but it fell apart. So that ubudiyyat is necessary, that submission has to be there. It shouldn't be because our interests are not being met, we just move away. Obedience means at all times, whether we benefit or whether we lose. If the policies are in our favor, we have to be obedient. If they are against us, yet we have to be obedient. Says that la takun abda ghayrik, don't be a slave of another. Qad ja'alaka Allah hurra. Another incident, Hubaba. She has a nephew who was under the influence of Muawiyah. She says, come on, let's go to Imam al-Mustafa, Imam of Time. And see, I want to see how you are. A young lad, beautiful, under the influence of Muawiyah. She says that, why don't you get married? Muawiyah is giving out all this wealth and riches. He says, no, I don't want to. I don't want anything from Muawiyah. Yesterday we talked about that being in the service of someone who is against Islam, it's a disaster. A bad death is approaching for that reason. Says that, let's go to Imam. And then when they come to the Imam, and she says that, Imam, I want to know this nephew of mine. How is he? Is he among those who are mu'mineen, or is he not? Imam looks into the database. And then she says that, he is with us, and he is among the mu'mineen, and he will stay with us. That is Iman. And Quran says that يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ. And when Iman is there, Allah strengthens it, Allah confirms it. But we also have to work hard. And many a times, when it comes to these do's and don'ts and disobedience, even to the fatawa of mujtahideen, that would keep us away. When yesterday in that hadith we recited that whosoever distances from Ali has distanced from Rasulullah, has distance from Allah. The same thing is over here. If we pick and choose some of the rules and some of the do's and some of the don'ts, that automatically increases the distance between us and Amirul Mumineen, us and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So here Imam says that La takun abda ghayrik, qad ja'alaka Allah hurra, that don't be a slave of another when Allah has made you free. Or for example, Muslim ibn Aqil, the reason why we find that he is so high, it's because of that servitude of his. He has submitted wholly and solely to Abu Abdullah. And for that, Fahim says that ulufun fil hayati wa fil mamati, that when he was killed, he was taken to that height of that governor house, and from there he was thrown. Here that poet says that he lived so high, and that death also was given to him from that height he was thrown down. That is that beauty. Someone with Iman lived so high, and a death that was given to him also that was high. The haqqun anta ihdal mu'jizat. That no wonder you are one of the miracles of Allah, that a life you lived with that height of Iman, and a death also was granted to you from that height, and you saved. So here, that obedience has to be there, and the more the obedience a person possesses, the more he will be a sincere servant of Allah. The reason why shaitan was an abid, was not an abd, because of that lack of Iman, lack of freedom, lack of obedience. And what is required from us is that we have to be sincere servants of Allah, obedient servants of Allah, not an abid and worshipper. Days are related to Amir al-Mu'mineen. And it is said that Imam is hit, that Mal'oon does his job, Imam wasn't sajda, raises his cry, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, that I sought that prosperity by the Lord of Kaaba. The namaz, it is led by Imam Mustafa, he continues with the prayers. Head of Amirul Mu'mineen is tied. And then Imam is brought to his house. Reports, they say that Imam says, don't take me like that to the house. Oh my God, so much she sees me, she's going to be disturbed. That is how much Imam wanted the comfort of his children, of Zainab and Umm Kulsum. I wish he was there to see in Karbala that how this Zainab al-Kubra, Umm al-Masa'ib, she saw everything unfold before her. And she was an eyewitness to incidents which unfolded, which were not seen by anyone. Imam says in that hadith that masa'ib that were seen by Amir al-Mu'mineen were far more bitter than the masa'ib that were seen by Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Says, has a phrase, says, masa'ib which Amir al-Mu'mineen saw are adha wa amaru, much bitter. Says, why is that bitter? Says, Hussein, he was killed on that day of Ashura, he died. He did not see with his eyes what unfolded on the women and children in Sham. Says Ali, he was an eyewitness to see all the disrespect that was shown to Zahra. He was an eyewitness to see how she was crushed between the door and the wall. He was an eyewitness, he saw how that house wherein Rasulullah used to come at the door and say, As-salamu alayka ya ahl al-bayt. That door, how it was bashed on her and burnt down. He was an eyewitness. Says Ali, he is the Imam. He has to sign that certificate of Shahadat and give that to Zahra, that Zahra, proceed. You have to give your life. So he, what he saw is far more bitter than what Abu Abdullah saw on the day of Ashura. Says that on this day, when the body of Amir al-Mu'mineen is brought to the house, Imam Mustafa takes the noble head of Imam of his father Amir al-Mu'mineen, places it in his lap. Blood is just flowing from his head, so much so that his mahasin, his pure beard, it's all drenched and soaked in blood. He cries a lot, a lot. And then Abu Abdullah Hussein comes. The reporter here says that he had cried so much that his eyelids were wounded due to that excessive crying in the just fraction of that day. That is, on this tragedy which had hit him. And then says, as Imam Mujtaba was crying, a drop of his tear fell on the Mubarak face of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam says, Hassan, are you crying? Stop crying, Hassan. Now these are things that happen, they come and go. He condoles his son Hassan, he condoles his son Hussein. And then the body is taken into another room. Upon his instruction, the body is taken to the other room. He says, take me to that room where I said, where my worship and my ibadat were done. And it is mustahab that someone who is giving away his life, that you lay him in the place where he used to say his prayers. Here Imam's body is taken to that room and men are away. Now that the women, they come in. The first to come is Zainab and Umm Kulsoom. Upon the weeping, wailing, crying of Zainab and Umm Kulsoom, Imam, who was condoling his sons there, he bursts into tears and cries. Now he cries upon the crying of Zainab and Umm Kulsoom, but we wish that he was there to see what unfolds on Zainab. So Zainab, she is the dearest of her father. She is someone who has seen all these variety of pains that unfold on this household of one. Just a few dead years after her birth, the first tragedy to hit is the passing away of the grandfather. Not soon, very soon after that, how that bala unfolds on that house, how it is burnt down, how the mother is crushed. She sees, she is an eyewitness as to how the father's body is brought from the mosque to the home. Now she is someone who has seen all these things. She says, it's two Ali's that I see. An Ali who was fasting in that Masjid Kufa on that day, and we've got another Ali who is thirsty in Karbala on that day. What unfolds in Karbala, it's different. It's the same Ali junior of that Ali senior which has hit in Kufa. Allah la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-lazeen zalamu ayyamun qalabin yan qalabun. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم أحينا حياة محمد وآل محمد وأمتنا ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد واجعلنا من أنصار محمد وآل محمد وعجل في فرج محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.